We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. It's time to take time for Jesus. As I often say, the time is now. The day is the day of salvation. It's time we need to take consideration about where we are going to spend eternity. The times of the signs of the times, rather, is all upon us, and all the things that we see happening in the world today, the Bible has predicted and the prophecy has went out a long time ago. Even started back in the way back in the time that 476, the end time started, the beast of those and the things that's coming about on this world is not just as you see in beast as saying of a beast of a animal type thing. It's a political problem, and the things are happening in the world today. We've got it all over the world. We know that these things and the signs of the end time is upon us. If you would read your word and see what the Bible has to say about these things in the days that we live, as I've encouraged you to the best of my ability to read what the word of God has to say about the things and the conditions of the world and different areas that we are living in today. All things are being fulfilled, and there's nothing that you nor I can do to stop it. Only thing that you or I one can do is to be prepared by giving our lives to the Lord and repenting for our sins and letting God take control of our lives. To live in this world, you don't have to be a part of it. You don't have to be a partaker of the sins of this world. But you can be in the world and still be not of the world. The Bible plainly speaks about these things. And my friend, today you need to read the Word of God and see where things are going and see what's happening throughout the world. We have these earthquakes in diverse places. They're getting stronger all the time. And they're more frequently now than they've ever been before. And the signs in the heavens and the stars and the moon and all these things and in the sun are taking place. These people at NASA got this telescope up there, and they claim that everything's new. They just discovered it, a new planet, a new this or a new that. My friend, that was there from the creation of the world when God created it all. He put it in its place, and therefore it's been there. It's not been visible to the naked eye or to the human man until they put these things up. But I believe that the knowledge has increased in the fact that these things are happening for the benefit of the world, to let people know that God is sovereign. He made all this. He created it. It just didn't come a big bang one day and there it was. God spoke it into existence, and it's still there by his grace and by his power. The word of his power is holding it all in place. And these things are happening around and about. We got to understand that this Bible prophecy is going to be fulfilled, and the president and none of these other leaders can hinder it, my friend. It's going to come. And they just stepping stones to bring forth whatever that is that God would have them to do or play in that part of the things that are happening around the world. We've got crooked politicians. We've got all kinds of things happening in the world and dog eat dog kind of an attitude that these people have got. And the ACLU is trying to put down Christ, but yet they claim that they are, but they're far from it. When they go to taking prayers out of the school and aborting our children and all these things are happening, it's bringing forth perilous times upon us and people driving down the road shooting our children or doing all kinds of things, and they're coming into the shopping areas and blowing them up in all different places of the world. If people are killing one another when they don't know why. because that the devil has got their mind so deceived that they just follow into my will, my rights. What about other people's rights? What about the right that God gave us to follow peace with all men, but yet and still there's no peace? Simply because that the God of this world, the devil, has put it into the minds of a lot of people and deceived them in such a way that they are following in his steps instead of in the way that the Lord would have them to go. The world is running around as it did in the days of Noah. All kinds of things are happening. Sin is running rampant until God said it was enough. And the only people, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, found grace in the sight of God. Honey, if you're not in the grace of God, you're outside of God's grace. You are lost in sin. You need to come to the Lord and repent of your evil doings and your ways of sin, and let the grace of God come into your lives and make you a child of the King. That's the only way you're going to escape the destination that the world has been set to, according to God's word, for devastation. It's going to all burn up one day. It's all going to cease to exist simply because God said he was going to wipe it out. He was going to destroy this old world, and the elements thereof is going to burn up with a favorite heat. My friend, today, the only thing that's going to stand is that which is God has ordained. And if you are into the kingdom of God, been born again of the water and of the Spirit, it took on the name of Jesus, which most of the world hates. You take that when you go to talking about some of these other people that's big time and everything, people are cheering and everything. But when you mention the name of Jesus, a lot of people will shun you. They'll turn against you. But my friend, today, that's the only name that has been given among men whereby that you can be saved, and no other name can be claimed that right for salvation. But there's no other name given. You're going to have to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. He's the one that died for your sins. He's the one that purchased you there at Calvary with his own blood. And he's the one you're going to have to come to and ask to forgive you of your sins and then walk accordingly to the scriptures. My friend, it just ain't no other way. I implore you. Let me encourage you with everything that is in me. Read your Bible. You'll see that we're living in these days that he spoke about, and they're getting worse all time. We look at this nation here, that how that things have changed in the last 50 years at least. They've changed drastically in the last 20 years, but they've been slowly getting into the position that we're in that's going to bring on to this one world government system, and it's going to be, and they've won, people call it the mark of the beast, but it's a system, a government system. One man to rule the world. These things are going to be, and we need to get a hold of the hem of the garment of Christ Jesus and call upon him and be in his care, giving him our allegiance, giving him praise and honor and lifting him up. And whereby that your neighbor, your friend, your mother, your dad, your children, aunts and uncles may see Christ in your life, and they too would turn to him and repent if they haven't already. But if you'll notice that some of the aunts and uncles that's up in the age, and some of the grandparents and everything that come up in the old school, that they may be already calling upon the name of the Lord. They may have made their peace with the Lord, and you need to accept their lifestyle. Denominations, honey, is not going to get you there. Being born again, there's only one Lord and one faith and one baptism that we're baptized into one body. Now, you can hear all these here things coming around with the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But now those are titles of God, and I understand that. But there's only one name given among men. When Jesus told the apostles there in Matthew 28:19, he said, go into all the world, teaching them that I've taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, there was specifically got to be a name, and the name of Jesus was given to all can call upon him, and that's the only name. Father is a title, Son is a title, and the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the sovereign God. Just ain't no way around it, my friend. But these teachers that teaching these things are false teachers, false prophets. Peter said in the third chapter of First Peter there, let us know about these things. Peter wrote consistently. Paul wrote consistently about all these antichrists, these false teachers and these things. Jesus even told them himself that they would come in his name. You look at here a few years ago, a fellow out there in Texas, Kushner, I believe his name was, and then Tom Jones and all these here claimed to be the Messiah. My friend, today the world is full of people that's trying to claim to be this and claim to be that, but they're nothing but devil sent, and they're trying to deceive people and get them into the place to where they'll be lost eternally. All these things that are happening in the land today is for the purpose of to let them know that God knowed what he was saying when he had his prophets of old to prophesy of these days in which we live. All of the heads of the world leaders have all come and gone except that one that he speaks about, that the iron and clay mixed. We're right down in the feet of it today, and there's only one going to come, that the Jesus Christ is going to come and set up his kingdom, but he's going to destroy the last one, and it's mixed up with iron and clay, and the Bible speaks about it. It's an old Roman Empire being built back up again with the European economy and the 10 countries over there to come to be the 10 kings and these things. My friend, read your Bible. Read and see where we're at. The time is running short. Time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We need to call upon the name of the Lord and find out where he is, where we can be also, according to the scriptures. But you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to know what God has to say about all the things that are happening. We're having destruction happening across all the land. You look at all the kingdoms against kingdoms, the nations against nations. All these things are just a part of beginning of sorrow. God said that when he was going to mock when fear cometh upon them and laugh at their calamities. Look at all the fearful things that happen, people losing their homes and their everything because of the economy falling, because of these fires raping through the communities and destroying our forests and homes, and people are fearful of that. God may be looking down on your fears, my friend, but he may be laughing at you at the same time because you forgot to call upon the Lord. And you can look at Nebuchadnezzar said, look what I have done, this big kingdom and all this that I have built and all this. And a spirit fell upon him and he went crazy. He ate the straw like an ox and was wet with the dew. His hair turned to look like feathers. His fingernails and all like claws, until he recognized and looked up and blessed the God of creation, the God of heaven. My friend, today we need to look to the Lord God Almighty. We need to turn our hearts to him and be prepared for the things that are to come, because it was coming and there's nothing going to prevent it. There's nothing going to stop it, but it's going to be fulfilled because the man's hearts today are filled with lust, greed, and with murder and strife, adultery, and all kind of fornications and all kind of immorality and all these things, and even to our judges is so enthused over it until they making laws to help hold these things and all. They're a sanctioning in everything. We got 14 states here in the United States have already come to the place of where they're going to recognize same-sex marriage, and that's going to be the downfall. Your democratic democracy is going to be a part of this downfall to the whole world because they're trying to spread this rot gut stuff over the world, and they claim they got all the answers, and no man's got all the answers, my friend. This bickering and backing around with this and that, with these two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, my God says in his word, he said, a house that's divided cannot stand. So we're divided. It's a kingdom that's divided. Democrats and Republicans. I'm beginning to think that we need to just vote for Jesus. Amen. And let him take over and get away with all this here Democratic Party and the Republican Party and run them out of town. We need to get God in our lives and let God take charge of us. And whenever these things come, and when he comes again and says, come up here, we can leave all of this old stuff, that carnality and all these things that we presently seem to fall in love with so much in the stadiums and in the movie houses and all these things. Leave it behind and let the devil have it, because he's going to be cast into hell with all the other false prophets and all these things, and he knows it. But he wants to drag you down in there with him. He ain't going to enjoy it no more so than you will. But he wants to deceive, destroy, kill, and lame all that he can, because his mind's set to destroy that that God created in his own image. That's why he's got so many of these people running around and saying evolution, claim that we sprung from this and sprung from that, to do away, because the devil is there. He don't want people to realize that God created man in his own image and in his likeness, and he made woman from the man, and he made them male and female, and he made them there to join together to replenish the earth. And it was no hebo or stebo. It was all Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. And God is sick of this nations around and about that are sanctioning this kind of immorality that's going on in the world. And he's going to bring a destructive force upon it that the world has never seen, my friend. So you need to get prepared, get your heart right with God, repent, and let God come into your life and accept him as your personal savior. It's the only way you're going to escape the things that's to come upon the world. You're going to suffer some tribulations. You're going to suffer some times if you stay around long enough. You're going to be tried as though by fire. Gold and silver is put in the fire, and a refinery fire, to get all of the particles out that is not real. That's what the tribulation is going to separate the he's from the she's, and the sins and the haints from the saints. My friend, it's going to come to the place of where in God's going to try us, and we're going to be tried, and it's going to start at the house of God. We've got a lot of preachers out there today is sugarcoating the message, and they're not telling the people about sin will get you cast into hell. Sin is one thing that God just absolutely is not going to tolerate. He wants people to believe and trust in him and live a good, clean life, morally, and therefore spiritually. He wants you to repent of your sin, not be a part of the world and its atmosphere and its things that comes around, and sin that engulfs us in such a manner that we become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Driving hundreds of thousands of miles maybe to watch a game at a field somewhere or another, but won't even go to church around the corner. It's too cold, or I ain't got enough of gas, or my clothes is too dirty. Still they'll go to them games. They find the money somewhere. For whatever the old flesh desires, they're going to do. When God just said to repent, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But they won't do that even in their own homes. They got all kinds of things. But my friend, there's only one thing that I can say about them that love these things more than they love God. You're headed in a destructive force, and the devil's got you down, bound, and you got you on a slippery board, and you're sliding directly into hell, because the Bible speaks about a broad way and a wide gate and many that are traveling upon it. But the way into the kingdom of God is a straight way and a narrow gate, and few that find it. So you get around that with the word of God. Let your wooden God, or let your God of statues, or God of prosperity, as these, some of these preachers are preaching that prosperity and this and that and all the way. But they're not telling you about the sins that are killing people simply because they're looking into prosperity. They're looking for money, monetary things, instead of looking to the kingdom of God. They're looking to what they can see, feel, and grab a hold of or stick in their pocket. I'm looking for the kingdom of God. It's out of my natural sight, but I can look at it and see it. Spiritually, I can see it. I can see the Lord and making preparations to bring his own into the kingdom. My friend, there's many people that's going to come before him and say, Lord, we've done all these things in your name. We opened the blind eyes, we healed the sick, we raised the dead and all these things. But he's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Simply because they're using a name, but they're not living the life. God will recognize his name. But he ain't going to tolerate the sins of people that try to get by with that. Oh, my friend, today, listen and hear me. It's time that we made that trip out of the valley decision. Make the decision to serve the Lord, cleave unto him, and worship him in spirit and in truth, and get out of the valley and get up on the mountaintop and let God rule and reign in your life. It's time we begin to realize that the day is the day of salvation. Time's running short. Whether you want to realize it or not, look around about the world today. Listen to the news. Then read your Bible and see where we're at. And see if the scripture doesn't tell you that we're living in the last days. Jesus is coming soon, and he's going to put an end to all of this mess that's going on, all this killing and all the sins and the things that are happening in the world. He's going to destroy it all. And that last old destructive force that he's going to kill is death. He's going to put it under his feet, and when he bring into the kingdom, there be no more death or no more sorrow. There be all joy, peace, and love. Wouldn't you rather have that and all the riches and the silver and gold in the world? And then when it comes time when Jesus says, depart from me, your gold and your silver ain't going to buy your way in there. It's only what you have repented. Let God come into your life and allow him to be your king, your Lord and master, and to serve him in the beauty of holiness. Oh, it's some of these people I got around here. Yeah, you say, you must be one of them. Yes, when the Spirit of God moves on me and the Holy Ghost wants to speak, I let him speak in tongues. Some of you people may shun about that, but I want you to know something or other. There's been a lot of people that's come and made fun of it. It ain't around today. Oh, when Peter stood up there on there and Ananias and Sapphira come and lied to the Holy Ghost, he didn't lie to them. He lied to the Holy Ghost. They fell down dead. God was to start doing some of those things today. Where would you be if you promised the Lord that you was going to give him a portion of that you have earned or received, and you give him less than what you committed to say, and you walked up there and said, here it is, but you kept part of it because you greed, and you fell down dead, where do you think you'd wind up at? Because you lied to God, you'd wind up in hell. My friend, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. It's time for us to get up and call upon the name of the Lord and look about us and see where we're at and see that we need salvation. The whole world is teeter-tottering on the edge of destruction, and some people are so blinded in their minds and in their thoughts and looking unto them false teachers that are prosperity this and send me a seed and plant it and everything and it's going to grow and multiply you multi-millions and everything. It's a lie out of hell and the devil's the father of it. God promised you that if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the other things that you have need of will be added unto you. I believe that in my whole heart because he ain't never let me down. It's been a time or two that's been a little bit tough, but he's always seen me through. He promised me he would, and he does. He supplied my needs, but I want you to know that he comes first. He is the one that I give praise and honor to for life, health, and strength, for a good wife, for a home, for a roof over my head. It ain't no mansion. Worth about $50,000, but I got a place to keep me dry and warm and cool, and all of my needs are being met, so what have I got to say? Come on, Lord Jesus. This world is not my home. I'm looking for that kingdom of God where builders and makers is God. I'm getting homesick. I'm getting wanting to go home because this world is not my home. If I thought that I had to live 1,000 years as this present world is today, I think I'd find me a high place and jump off because it wouldn't be nothing left to look forward to. But I'm looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming really soon, and I know that things are going to be better. So I know it ain't going to be 1,000 years yet before he comes. I don't believe it's going to be that much longer. I don't know the day or the hour, so don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tell you that I do, because I don't. But all of the signs that is being fulfilled today and all of these things that are transpiring about us and everything and the way our system has gotten, the economy falling apart, and the way that our government's trying to force these things over onto people that they can't afford because of the way that things are happening and everything, and then going to put you in jail because you can't buy his plan. It's wrong, my friend. It's absolutely wrong. Man, no man has got the right to force somebody to do something other they cannot do, and then because they can't do it financially or whatever, you're going to put them in jail for it? This man's got to be a nut. He's got to be something wrong with his head, with his thinking. I know what it is. He's following the leader of his father, the devil. My friend, and anybody else that goes along with that, you're just falling into the trap the devil has set for you, and he's going to spring it on you, and you're going to be lost without any hope. It's time to wake up. Read the Word of God. Find out where you're at. See what you need to do as far as God is concerned. You need to repent because he said he would not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that includes the president, the queen, whoever else is there, got to repent. He might no respect of person. He's not, when it comes to color, creed, or whatever, he died for all that would accept him. Even to them there that call upon other gods, if they'd forsake the other gods, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, in believing upon him, I believe he'll accept them. But calling upon them other names and gods they set up before them, along with the things of Mary and all them kind of things, my friend, it's time that we got to realize that there's only one name, and that name is Jesus Christ. I know I've said a lot here, but Father, bless them and help them with their ears to hear and a heart to understand that they will come to you in sovereignty, praying and seeking after the kingdom of God. Help our boys and girls that have been forced into these other countries to fight for them that could care less about them. My God, help us, O God, to come to the place to wherein we will give you praise and honor, looking unto thee to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us, O God, to be understand and to realize, open our eyes and our hearts that we may see and hear what thus saith the word of God. Hallelujah. We thank you and we give you praise. I'm going to turn it over to my wife now and she'd got something other here I believe you might be interested in, but keep praying for us, my friends. We love you. If it wasn't the love that God had put in me for you to win your soul for the kingdom of God, I wouldn't be telling you about this stuff. I'd be out there somewhere or another hooping and a railing and a yelling or something other about in the world. But I don't care about those things anymore. I come out from it. He said, come you out from among the world and be ye therefore separated, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. And if you entangled in the loves of the world and the joy of all this here stuff, of the recreation and all the things that are going on, the pleasures of life, and you come to be a lover of that, and you don't seek after God, you are lost, my friend, definitely lost. Here's my wife.
Oh, praise the Lord. I just appreciate the Lord this afternoon for what he means to me, and I can't express what he has done in my life. Not so many material things, but he's always been there. I was sick one time and didn't know I was about to leave this world, but I put my faith and my trust in my Savior, Jesus Christ. He brought me through it, and I am here today to tell you that I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. And I just praise God this afternoon for his love and his mercies. We try every week, you know, to share with you what God has laid on our hearts to share with you, to bring you closer to him. We live in the last days. People don't think that we are. They kind of scoff at it and everything like that. But we are definitely in the last days. Go to 2 Peter. You can see what's happening. And that's right where we are. We're Sodom and Gomorrah. We're the Lot when he was run out of...
Brought out of Sodom.
When he was brought out of Sodom, and Noah with the ark and everything were exactly where they were. Sin is running rampant. Every day you see things are happening that you never thought would ever happen. I mean, I'm on the sunny side of 80. My husband right now, he's on the
shady side.
But I'm still holding on to Jesus. And I want to share with you today what our pastor has put in. It's a pastor's perspective. But if you remember how Paul, no matter what Paul was going through, Paul was faithful. And this faithful apostle knew how to abound in blessings and yet also rejoice in times of adversity. No matter his outward condition, no matter how pressing his circumstances, Paul always knew that he was in the center of God's will. Paul wrote many of his epistles to the churches while locked up in a cramped prison cell, bound, despised, cut off from believers, and seemingly from all ministry. Paul never spoke about being a prisoner of circumstances. Instead, he called himself a prisoner of Christ. Are you a prisoner of Christ today, or are you mullygrubbing around about your circumstances? We Christians struggle so hard to find the will of God for our lives. Once we believe we've found his will for us, we labor hard to see it fulfilled in our lives. I'm convinced this struggle to find God's will, to live it, to walk in it, and see its fulfillment become our greatest battle. David said, "The battle's not mine, but the Lord's." And the battle intensified whenever we find ourselves in dire circumstances. Many Christians simply cannot accept where they are right now. Their lives are burdened down by serious problems. For some, the burden's a lingering sickness. For others, it's unsaved loved ones. And now, for increasingly numbers, the battle's a financial crisis. Very few Christians accept that such burdens could possibly be a part of God's perfect will for our lives. Yet the truth is that multitudes of God's precious people, children, are facing difficult times, and they are bewildered because they can't comprehend why the Lord allows such things to happen. But it's in the book. It says he reigns on the just and the unjust. I want to share with you this afternoon a few articles in the Bible Friend. If you, as Christians out there, you want to really get something that will inspire you every month. I had the Bible Friend since back in 1991, and I've asked them their permission to share with you what's in it. And they told me anytime that I wanted to use anything like they have in there to go for it. But in an article from 1991, it says about how to read the Bible. I won't read the whole thing because it's a big long page. But if you read it daily, just as the children of Israel gathered the manna daily, you remember they couldn't gather what they didn't have for the next day. They had to go out there and get it every day. And this is what we encourage you to do, to read your Bible every day. And when you go out in the morning, get up in the morning, just ask the Lord to bless your day, and then take your Bible and read a scripture during the day. And then during the day, carry it with you, a little New Testament or whatever, and read it. And if you get problems going, and just go off to the bathroom or wherever, and when you're working, and just get alone with God. That's a place where nobody bothers you, and that's what I used to do. But you cannot get your spiritual life matured unless you read His Word. And you have to know Him. You have to know the author of the book. There was a lady, a story in there, I won't read it, but she loved to hear about Psalms. So she decided she was going to read the Psalms, but they were so dry that after a while, she threw it aside. Then one day she went to a church service with a friend, and they were talking about the author of this book. So she decided she was going to get hungry for him. And so after a while, she knew the author. Then she met a young man that became her husband later on, as the story goes. And he was a devout Christian, and he knew the author of the Psalms, the inspirer of the Psalms. And the more that she read it, the closer she got to him, the closer she got to the author of Psalms, and she learned to love the Psalms. And then she started from Genesis, read all the way through the Revelations, and she loved the author all the more. And I'm going to share with you the hands of Christ. This is a sad little thing. Maybe if you hear me sniffing, you'll know it touched my heart, and I just pray that it'll touch yours. But it's called the hands of Christ. When our Lord was here on earth, he frequently ministered man's needs with his hands. He broke the loaves and the fishes to feed a hungry multitude. He made clay and rubbed it on the eyes of a blind man to give him sight. He touched an unclean leper in the act of cleansing him. He said to Thomas, "Behold my hands. One day we too shall behold them." The stories told of a young girl whose mother was so beautiful, all except her hands, which were shriveled and scarred and hideous. Although the child was long reluctant to speak about them, the time came when she asked her mother how the hands became so marred. The mother told her how their house caught fire when the girl was very little. The mother rushed upstairs to the room where the girl was sleeping in her crib. With the help of the Lord, was able to carry the babe downstairs and outside without being harmed. But in doing so, the mother's hands were terribly burned. This brought sobs to the little girl as she said, "Oh, mother, you know I've always loved you, especially your face, your smile, your eyes. But better than all now, I love your hands." The one who left heaven's glory and became flesh for us bears his compassion hands, the scars of his sacrificial sacrifice on our behalf. His hands will be an eternal remember of his love. Do you remember those nail-scarred hands? We sang songs about them, you know, if I could just touch them. And Thomas saw his hands. Thomas was a non-believer, you might say. But when he saw his hands, and Jesus said, "Thrust your hand into my side and see where they pierced him." And every time I sing those songs, and the old rugged cross is one of my favorite, that it says that I'll cling to the old rugged cross. And I'm here today to tell you, as long as I live, the rest of my days, I pray to God that I will strengthen me to cling to that old rugged cross. I want to share with you an email that we received. And we are not in this to make money. My husband said before, we live in a modern house that's adequate for us. Drive a 2002 Ford and a 2006 Ford, and that's all good enough for us. That's all we need. We don't need a big old mansion. We don't need a Learjet or anything like that, because I don't like to fly. The only time I want to fly is when I meet the Lord in the air. But this is an email that we received from a listener. It said, "The bad is in this world that fills the news every night can be overcome with faith and knowledge of the Father. I know this is what you support, and I am glad that you are reaching out to the lost in this troubled world. We all need to know all we possibly can about God. Jesus works in our lives, and Jesus saves. I really like your broadcast. We have other ones, you know, that's got their iPad set because of what we preach. Not because of us, but because of what we preach. What we stand for. And my friends, we live. We don't only say the word, but we are doers of the word. We falter just like a lot of people do. Every once in a while, we may make a mistake, but as Paul said, I die daily. And I just thank the Lord that I can go to him every day. And I say, Lord, forgive me. If I have said or done anything to hurt you or my fellow men, or if I've said anything to hurt someone, God, forgive me and bring it to my remembrance that I can go to them and ask their forgiveness. We live in a world where people do not know what forgiveness is. They hold grudges, and instead of going to someone and tell them what your problem is, you know, go to them and tell them, you know, you said this and you hurt my feelings. Be big about it. It takes a bigger man to stop a fight and to stop an argument, to stop hard feelings, than it does to start one or continually battle one. But I just thank the God to say this afternoon that our goal is to lead people worldwide. We get emails from people in London, from Barbados, from the Virgin Islands, from all different around and everything. And we appreciate it. We know that the word is getting out, and that our goal is to get people to grow into a better relationship of Jesus Christ and to strengthen your faith in these last days. We will need our faith. We are going to have trials and tribulations come on us such as the world has ever known. But we need to draw closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will help us. In all these times, he says, take no thought of what you will say, because it'll be given to you in the hour that you need it. And we had a letter here some time ago from a soldier that was out at MacDill that he helped us on the broadcast, and we really appreciate it. But he was going to Afghanistan, and we got soldiers all over the world now that are out there. They're giving their lives for United States, and United States, I believe, is getting so far away from God that one of these days he's going to take his hand off of us, those that are persecuting him. We are in a world and we are in a nation that has almost forgot God. We live in a state, and I'm not going to say where, but you can leave the state line and go into another state and you can feel the presence of God. You can go into a restaurant. You can see the things there where they're promoting Jesus Christ and everything. But when you leave this, you come into this state, you don't see that. You won't find them anywhere. And I just believe God is getting tired of it. One of these days, you got to put an end to it. And he said, I'm done with it. I just want you to know, if you live in, I'm going to tell you, the Tampa Bay area, and your church does not have church on Sunday night, we have church at 7:30. The Word of God is preached. Jesus Christ is preached. The Holy Ghost is preached. And we try to make everybody feel welcome. I won't give you all the information, but if you will email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com, we will give you the email. We'll give you the address of the church. And everyone is welcome. There's no big I's. There's no little U's. We are one in Christ. There's no pride, as far as I could see. And as far as long as we've been there, people love one another for who they are, not for what they are in this world. So I just urge you, if you would like to help us, but we want emails to let us know that we're reaching out. But our address is Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. We love the Lord, and I'm turning it back over to Brother Earl. May God bless you. Until the next time, this is Sister Sarah. Email us, write to us, and may God bless you. Send us our prayer request. We'll pray for you every day. And God bless you.
Yes, praise the Lord. As we were speaking there a little bit ago, we're in this ministry together. It's not all about me. It's all not all about my wife. It's all about Jesus. He brought us together in some trying times, and he's kept us together all these years, and he watched over us and met our needs, and we give him the credit and the praise for all that he has done for us. And as she was saying, we got this letter from the from one of the soldiers. He was up into the rank, but he was from MacDill. He was going back to Afghanistan in June, and we heard the broadcast on the airways, and he found it, and he thought that it was really good, and he encouraged us there to keep preaching the word. And I'm praying that God will let him return back home safely to his wife and his loved ones there, along with the other men and women that are over there, in a country that feels like that we're just a bunch of idiots, in other words. But we're over there fighting and trying to liberate them from turmoil and everything. But their own countrymen are killing them left and right, and us too, and they call us a bunch of infidels, but they call on a false god. My friend, it's time we wake up to realize that we're living close to the return of our Lord, and we need to realize, if you would just take the time out and see about the perilous times coming, and if you read in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, he said, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. The perilous times are here and will continue to get worse. There are things are happening around rioting and protesting and everything, and that's going on in the world today, and are ready to explode. And this playing into the hands of the beastly power, who can bring the solution to the trouble of the world, but the solution will not be, it will be deception. We need to know, my friend, that there's going to come a time that there's going to be a one world system that's going to come in and to be in a play that is going to seem like, to a lot of people, it's going to seem like a very thing, because with flattery and with all these promises and the change, and we need a change. We do need a change. We need to change from the sinful habits of this world and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ and let him change our whole attitude. But as to change, we need change. We got to change, but it ain't for the better. It's for the worse, because you look about you. It's all been falling apart, and it hadn't accomplished anything but a bunch of lies and carrying on. And my friend, today we're living in the perilous time. We're living into the place to where this one world system is going to come, and the Bible calls him the Antichrist, the son of perdition. He's going to rise up, and he's going to put himself in a position to make people think that he is God himself. But my friend, there's only one God, one Lord, one faith, and he's not going to come like he did, as born as a babe. The next time he appears, he's going to appear in the clouds of glory and all that, his power and all there. And there he's going to receive his own people that have been born again up to him. But then when he comes back and puts his foot upon Mount Olive, and it cleaves away to the east and the west, and it's going to make a valley there. And these people that think that they're going to go over there and kill and destroy and annihilate Israel, I got news for them. I know they probably ain't none of them listening to me, but in case they are, you are doomed for hell, my friend, if you think you're going to destroy Israel, because God's going to destroy them that's going to stand up to annihilate his people. It's not going to happen, as you surmise it will. But we're living in the days that people have been fooled and hoodwinked by the devil to believe that they can do anything they want to. There's no God. There's no heaven and no hell. We're just everything continue as it is since the Father fell asleep. But I want you to think about it. God's not asleep. He's alive and alive forevermore. They took him on the cross and nailed him to that cross for yours and my benefit. They didn't kill him. He gave his life. He surrendered it life. He had the power to lay it down. He had the power to take it up again. When he told that bunch of Pharisees and scribes, which is a lot of places, they was in the upper shalot of the synagogues there. But Jesus didn't go to the upper crust, you might say, to choose his apostles. He went out there by the seashore. He went out there and even got a tax collector. But he said, follow me. He left his tax and did all that stuff and followed the Lord. He went to the simple person. He went to them that would listen and them that didn't think that they was more mightier than he. He taught them the word of God. He taught them what the Father sent him to do. He told them all the things was going to come to pass. And he made mention to them about the perilous time. We're in those perilous times here. If you noticed that the news told you here not too long ago that how these girls was walking down the street, going home from school, or maybe just out there for a walk, maybe, and some idiot come along down the car and go to shooting them. And if we're not in perilous times, we need to realize that we're at the time that we need to go forth. And let God know that we're in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're living closer to those times. And we need to let God know that we love him. He loved us enough and he died for us. And these perilous times that's coming upon us, my friend, is places that are happening and things are happening around the world and disasters are going forth. And if they're not perilous times, God help us when they ever do get here, if they're not here already. We're living in the days of the end. The time is coming up, and people are going forth and trying to destroy this world. And God said that them that destroy the world, he's going to destroy them. We need to realize that all these things are taking place, that God has put it in his word to warn you and I that flee from the wrath to come. We need to realize that time is running short, and we need to come forth into the place that we're in that God would give us sanction in his sovereign grace. We appreciate the Lord, and we thank him for his grace, and we just see that our time is about gone, and we just pray that God will touch your lives in a way that you would be led to read his word and study and to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and give him praise and glory. Until we speak to you again, we pray that you would write to us. We pray God will bless you, and we pray that things will go well with you. Those that are sovereignty with God, God bless you and keep you as our prayers, and pray for us as the days go by that we live the life as you will and live the life for him, and we keep in touch with one another. And may God richly bless you, my friend, and keep you in his sovereign grace. Until next week, take time for Jesus in your daily chore and give him praise and honor. God bless you and keep you is our prayer to you, and to give you the opportunity to serve him. May God bless you is our prayers. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are